Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Lunchtime on a Friday, and we got you for a couple more hours. Stoke and Josh with you till 2. You want to join the show? We'd love to hear from you on a Friday. How's that bracket doing? How are you feeling about an Avs loss? The Nuggets huge game coming up tonight, and obviously you can vent to us if you got some Rockies frustration after last night. 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Watch the show and hang out there in the chat room. A little bit of the Sweet 16, Stoke. It was a couple of big games last night. UConn rolling, UNC losing. Clemson was the fun story of last night with what they were able to do. And then now you're going to have, this was the fun internet talk last night, Clemson versus Alabama for a chance to play in the Final Four. A couple football schools doing their thing on the hardwood. I know you hate Alabama, and I can appreciate that and respect you for that, but I actually kind of think that's cool, too. Like, this is Alabama and Clemson here about to play on their biggest stages in a very, very long time. Maybe not for Alabama because they've been all right for a couple years, but first Elite Eight appearance for Clemson since 1980. I think it's kind of a fun story that the football schools are now good at basketball.
Yeah, I think so also. You know, under the radar Clemson team that kind of coming out of nowhere here and making a good run. So playing great basketball right now at the right time. Alabama, nice win last night against North Carolina, knocking off a number one seed. So they're playing good ball right now. And so both teams are hot. I think it's going to be a really good basketball game. And I'll be pulling hard for Clemson.
Pulling hard for Clemson.
Yeah, we just need once Alabama goes, then I'm kind of freed up. Like to okay, I like Houston, that's cool. UConn wins, all right, that's cool. You know, like I'm freed up like that a little bit to just kind of pull for whoever, not really hate a team.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it'll be, I mean, Clemson, there's still an 11 seed out there, right? North Carolina State's going to play tonight, but Clemson is a really dang good basketball team. You're talking about a six seed finding their way to the Final Four. Maybe that would put at ease all the folks talking about how this tournament has felt chalk and hasn't been, you know, littered with Cinderella teams making a run. And I don't really look at a six seed as that Cinderella, right. But it's still Clemson who you look at and go, wait a minute, they got a chance to go to the Final Four?
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the blue blood.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke. So it's somebody different, which I think is a good story there. I think people want that, and people want some upsets and some buzzer beaters and a team that maybe you don't watch a lot of, haven't seen a lot of, not a historically great basketball team, all of a sudden come out of nowhere and you know, make a run. That's what people like to see. So I think Clemson's one of those teams.
Yeah. I want to go to, I think Mark Schlereth is still leading our group of our brackets. Oh, yeah, he's still in first place.
Where am I?
Right underneath him is me, second place.
Oh, and I didn't ask that. I asked where
you
I
are.
Was.
Well, let me keep scrolling here.
Oh, no.
Scrolling. You are right under Zach Bye. You are third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place. Seventh place right behind Zach Bye. Yeah. Decently behind.
Do you have a lot? Do you have a chance to beat Mark?
I think so. Well, we both have Houston, so I don't know what his exact Final Four looks like, but I don't think I can.
Bro,
I just need to beat you to talk trash.
Okay.
And beat Matt Smith to collect.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Where's Matt at then?
Third place, right behind me.
Oh.
So we
okay.
got a little
okay,
battle
good,
going
good.
On.
Good.
Right
all right.
There.
Well, we got something to follow. Then
with
I like
Matt
that.
Smith. And it's also you can go to our website, DenverSports.com, and see us versus you. They're good. There's some people out there with 138 points. Mark's in the lead with 114 in our
group.
Wow. So the folks out there know what they're doing.
Yeah, how about that?
Chance at $5,000 or $1,000 with that second chance. Yeah, you better know what the heck you got going on. As far as tonight, Stoke, I think the big one, well, for you and for Kev, I hope Kevin can get it. He's having the day off today. I hope he can get the game. But Gonzaga-Purdue is the 5:30 game on TBS. That's a 5-seed Gonzaga versus a 1-seed Purdue that always finds a way to choke in this round.
Yeah.
And then Duke-Houston will be 7:30, 7:39 on CBS. Those are where I really got my attention tonight. I have some sports hate in my heart for Purdue, so
you do.
I'm rolling all in with the Zags, yeah.
Because you're an IU guy.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That should be a good game. Zags have been playing well.
And Daniel Graham's nephew, right?
Yeah, he plays for the Zags. So pull up a roster. Let's pull up a roster then so we can get his name correct.
Okay, that's right. He texted you wrong, right?
I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. So the Graham was first, not second in the name.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, Graham Ike.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then I think you made fun of me, like I messed it up.
I did?
Yeah,
yeah
I did mess it up. So shout out to him. Shout out to DG.
From Aurora, Colorado, Graham.
And, how about that? And got a chance to go ahead and win a big one tonight. So that should be a good game there, though. Purdue's been playing well. They got knocked out of their tournament by Wisconsin, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, and you're right. They seem to always just kind of crumble in these moments, and they didn't win their conference tournament, and let's see what it looks like tonight. Who else do we have? Tennessee Creighton.
I'm excited about that one. That'll be a good one, too.
I'm excited about that one.
That's the late starter.
Oh, perfect.
8:39, so you'll get that one late in your life. Creighton's a damn good basketball team, too, and Tennessee is pretty solid coming from the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Creighton's got a veteran team. I watched them a couple years ago in Dallas. To start the bracket off, and a bunch of those guys are still there.
Yeah,
and this is 3 years later. They got a big tall kid, got a really good guard, a couple good guards there. So they're a veteran team that's been through it. So, and then the Tennessee got the kid from Northern Colorado. No, what? Who? Huh?
Go ahead.
Is Northern Colorado, or he transferred to Tennessee from some Colorado school?
I think it is Northern Colorado.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Kinnett?
Dalton Kinnett.
Yeah, baller.
Yeah.
Baller. Love watching him play.
I got some beef with Dalton.
Okay, well, tell me 1 second, because I love watching him play, and I have no beef with Dalton. And but it should be a good matchup. I mean, that Tennessee team is a good team, and they seem to always underachieve also when it matters the most. So he's fun to watch. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. But there's going to be some good ones. Why do you have beef, man? Come on. With Dalton? What?
Birthplace.
Yeah.
Looking at it right now.
Seymour?
Thornton, Colorado.
Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Thornton and Fort Collins, they just don't vibe. Like,
right. Where's your hood?
North Glen. Yeah. Right on the border there.
Oh, okay.
Where
did he go to high school?
Well, that's a good question. I would assume Thornton.
Well, he might have moved.
Hopefully, for his sake.
Might have went to, you know, a school that you like.
North Glen? That's the only school
I've heard. That's it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And, well, and he's successful at basketball, probably didn't go to North Glen.
Well, you know what? I'd like to push back.
Right.
But I really can't. He does average over 21 points a game and close to 5 boards. So that should be a good one tonight. I do have Creighton rolling all the way to my Final Four. So that's where my rooting interest will be this evening with that one. How about this question real quick before we get to some Broncos? Who do you have winning this? Who's your champion?
Well, I think Connecticut and one, Houston another.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it depends on which one. I don't really remember. Like it was one of those, honestly, like I waited until the last second. I woke up Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. And I'm like, I was on a little bit of a golf trip.
Sure.
And late night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to do all these brackets, right? Cause I'm in one with Bearcat Jim and T Kev, and then I got to do my work one. I need to do that one, and then I had to do my family one that we have.
Oh, nice! I love that.
The Stokely's, yeah. Right? I'm in second right now, holding down.
Okay.
Just as long as I don't finish last.
Cameron's first, right?
No, Cameron's last.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he picked Kansas. I'm like, dude, come on, Cameron, what's wrong with you? Come on, he knew.
Can't do it with your heart,
right? He knew they were not going to make it very far. He knew that, and it's like betting. You don't bet with your heart. You bet with your brain. Mm-hmm. You pick your games with your brain, not your heart. But he couldn't help himself, so he had Kansas. So he's terrible. So that's my excuse. All right. Okay. I'm just giving it to you. It was
because a little
bit blurry when I was doing it.
And I respect that too. But I wanted to hear you say you had Houston in a pool because they got Duke tonight.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you're rooting for Houston.
I like that Houston team.
You do?
I do. And you know what, to be honest, like I loved basketball. I loved college basketball growing up, right? I mean, there was nothing like coming home and they had those matchups, the Big East matchups. And, you know, you didn't get a ton of games on TV, but it would be on, like, on Wednesday night, Monday. Then there was Dickie V. You know, you had ACC matchups with, and you knew the players. And then I went to Duke basketball camp. I went to both of their national championships in the mid-90s, their early 90s. And so I loved it. Now, it's like I'm not like this diehard Duke. I like Duke. I still pull for him. Mm-hmm. But it's just so different for me. I'm not grinding over Duke night in and night out. I'm just not. So I'm still going to pull for him. But if Houston wins, Houston wins, man. Okay. I like Kelvin Sampson. And I like a few of those. I like how they play. And they play the right way. And that guy, Sheed, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think I watched him.
The little guard, the little jump stop dude. Remember that play?
Yeah, I remember. But I like what he's about. Like, you can tell, like, he plays the game the right way. And it seems like he's a really good guy, too. Mm-hmm. So if you see any of his interviews, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm good with Houston. And I got the field versus UConn for our pizza bet. So
yeah,
I think Houston probably gives me the best chance if it comes down to the end there to beat a team like UConn.
Okay. One quick text. Dalton, talking about Dalton Knett from Tennessee. He went to Prairie View High School. You think I'm mean sometimes. This texter writes, he was a freshman when I was a senior, which meant I picked on him.
Oh.
How's that working out for you now there, 5'9"?
Yeah, when he's balling, what are you doing?
He's about to be in the NBA here real quick.
is he an NBA player?
He'll be an NBA player, yeah. I mean, he's not going to go be some star starting player, but he'll get a gig.
Well, I mean, he's very athletic and...
he can score.
Yeah, he can shoot it. So fun to watch, I know that. And hopefully he makes a... might make a little run here.
Yeah.
But that should be a really good game. Creighton's a good veteran team. Tennessee, same thing. That should be a good one. We got Houston, Duke. You know, Duke has kind of been one of those teams like, yeah, it's hard to really believe in them. And then who else do we have again?
Purdue Gonzaga.
We got
NC
one more.
NC State Marquette.
Yeah, that one to
That's
me.
That's 11-2, like, too. That's the Wolfpack's 11.
Sorry. I have to retract
okay.
what I said earlier about only have one team I still hate that I'll be pulling for to lose, and I have two.
North Carolina State.
Marquette.
Because you don't like the coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son can't stand the coach, right, Cam? Yeah. He can't stand the coach, Shaka Smart, because he coached at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas and Kansas are big rivals.
Okay.
And then so he got me paying attention to Shaka Smart, like on the sidelines, and how he acts. And I'm like, dude, you're right. Mm-hmm. Now I can't stand that guy. So I can't stand Marquette and Shaka Smart, and I can't stand Alabama. I don't even know what the hell their coach's name is. Is it Oates or something?
I don't know either.
I can't stand him either. So, both of those teams are on my hit list.
Nate Oates. Yeah. And you know what's actually kind of interesting? That Shaka, and when you started talking about his sideline antics and that look at me stuff, I was like, is he the men's version of Kim Mulkey?
Oh.
You know, without the wings and the stuff that she adds on her shirts, but like, it's a big, hey, look at me coaching over here.
It is a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's aggravating.
It's very aggravating.
So
I'm fed up.
That's right.
Chill, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Sorry, Kim.
He is fed up with all of this negativity.
That hit piece never dropped.
It hasn't.
It was supposed to be yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I want to see this. We got to see it now.
Yeah.
We got to see what it says, right?
I'd love to.
God. So I got two teams that I need to lose.
Okay.
And we got Alabama and Marquette. Yep.
I'm going to join you in the Marquette. Even though I have them winning, I would rather them lose. Because I feel the same way you do about their head coach. All right, let us know how your bracket looks, everything you got going on this weekend. I want to get into some Broncos real quick, but via LSU's head coach, Brian Kelly. It was Jaden Daniels' pro day, right, this week. So that means the coaches are there, the staff's there. He's throwing with his guys. And Brian Kelly was talking to the media after and maybe slipped up as to where he believes, or maybe even knows, his quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is going to be drafted.
He is going to be so committed to taking care of himself that you don't have to worry about size or he doesn't weigh enough. Lamar's done a pretty good job with his size. I think Mahomes, I wouldn't consider him a giant because he's going to get the ball out to the playmakers and make plays for Washington.
So you hear it there, right? for Washington.
Yeah.
He said at the end, and they're talking about the Lamar comparisons and the smaller frame. He's still a pretty tall dude. We learned that because we didn't think he was that tall. And he'll,
you didn't think it. Don't put me in there. You didn't think.
No, you were like, he's 5'4".
No.
Well, I was like, I think he's 5'9". That's what it went.
See how you just casually throw me into your mistakes and your misses.
We're a team.
Yeah. No.
If I get something right, though, that's me.
Right, exactly. I caught that.
You got good ears. But I'm not 100% worried about that. I assume he'll bulk up. Lamar hasn't, but he's gotten bigger since he was college. That's what happens. But the interesting part there is obviously the Washington. Now, is that him tipping his hand or slipping up? Or is that almost like the Harbaugh move of, we know Caleb's won, I'm going to now campaign for my guy to be two, and it just so happens that the Commanders have the second overall pick.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think he knows. I mean, they're not. Why would they tell Brian Kelly?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's a like he knows for sure. Maybe it's just he's got a hunch. Maybe he thinks that's where he goes. Maybe that's where he wants him to go, right? But I don't think he has any inside information. Like, why would Adam Peters, the general manager, or Dan Quinn, the head coach, like, hey, Brian, yeah, we're taking your guy at two. I think you're probably still in the process of figuring out and doing your research and due diligence on these guys to make sure, you know who you want to take. And I don't think the first call you make is to Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably a situation where that's where he hopes he goes. That's where he thinks he might go. But I don't think he has the inside info on that. I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, what do you make of it?
I kind of made it he's Harbaugh on it. It's his guy. He's campaigning because the Commanders have the second overall pick. It gets him the most money. He goes to Washington and basically becomes the starter right away. That's kind of how I looked at it. Hey, good coach taking care of his guy. That's how I viewed it. I also wonder what happened to his accent. I haven't checked in on Brian Kelly a lot, but remember when he got hired, he was trying to do the Cajun stuff, and he sounded, you know, like me and you right there. Did he just give up on that?
I think he did. I think he tossed in the towel on that.
People saw right there.
Yeah. Once people started making fun of him for it, it's like, okay, I better stop this. It's not it's not going over very well.
Right.
I just amazing. Just went away.
Nice work there, Brian. And then the other part of that is, all right, how would that affect the Broncos? If it's Jaden at two, we know Caleb's one, it's Jaden at two, it's almost the exercise we did yesterday, then it becomes a mad scramble between the Vikings and the Broncos, and the Vikings have more ammo to go get basically four, because then New England's on the clock with Drake May and J.J. McCarthy to pick from.
Yeah, and that'd be interesting to see who they take there. I think...
the Patriots?
Yeah. You know, in that situation, it's... all along, I thought like Drake May would be that second quarterback taken. It looks like it might be flipped. And Cecil told us he could be that guy that falls. He told us this a month ago,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's looking like he might be right. Like, J.J. McCarthy could end up going three to the Patriots, and the next thing you know, it's Drake May that starts slipping and falling down there. Now, that changes everything. Right? I mean, because we've been talking about, okay, well, all right, who's going to be the one that can get up to four and take J.J. McCarthy? Well, what if he's not available? What if New England takes J.J. McCarthy and it's Drake May? Do you love Drake May? You know, Sean Payton, do you love him?
Yeah.
Do you just like him? Are you willing to move up? Now do you sit and wait and be patient to see what happens, see if you can get Bo Nix? Maybe Drake May falls a little bit. Maybe you like him. You just don't love him. Right? You like him. You just don't love him. Mm-hmm. And so now maybe you try to move up to eight or nine to get him, right? You don't move up to four to get him. So that would be an interesting twist. If Jaden Daniels goes two, and then all of a sudden New England and it takes McCarthy and not Drake May, what do the Broncos do and what does it look like for the Broncos? I'm trying to think if that would be a good thing or a bad thing. I guess it just depends on who they like and who they love.
How does that night work? Like, are the Cardinals on a three-way call with the Broncos and the Vikings, and then going, hey, hold on, let me tell you what they just offered. Did they all just talk together?
And then they go, damn it, I hung up on him. Wait, get him back on the line. Like, what button am I supposed to push?
Right.
To keep, like, I hung up on George Payton. Get him back on the line. Like, what are we doing here?
But you know what I mean?
Could you imagine?
How involved are the Cardinals of going, hey, George, well, let's be honest. Hey, Sean, maybe Cody gets that call too.
Cody
Rager. Of like, hey, Minnesota just did this. What's your rebuttal? Is that how it goes, or are they waiting for the phone call to be made?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because if I were Arizona, Monty, right, which Sean mentioned this earlier, I'm using the hell out of that leverage and squeezing every little thing I can out of Minnesota and Denver.
Of course you are. And, you know, that's what they do, right? You're gonna try to use your position and get the most out of it for your football team. I mean, that just makes sense, right? You have leverage in that situation. So, because you'll have a couple teams probably wanting to move up to your spot. And, okay, I think what probably would have to happen is after the third pick is made, like you can't do it right now. I wouldn't think if you're a team, if you're the Vikings or the Broncos, I wouldn't think that you move up to four tomorrow if they want it. You don't know who's going to be there, mm-hmm. right? You know Caleb's going one, right? But you don't know at four, is Jaden Daniels going to be available? Is it going to be Jake May? Is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Like, you would have to love all three of them to do that move.
Because then just whatever falls to you, I'll take.
Right, but to me, that's hard to sell. That's hard to sell me on that. Like, oh, really? You love all three? You're going to take any one of them? Like, come on. That's. I don't think that's a very sound plan.
It reeks of desperation.
Exactly. And I don't want to be desperate. It's not good to be desperate. That's when you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. So I think for the Broncos, you have to be patient. And this is a day of trade. After the third pick, you know, then it's like, all right, Denver Broncos have traded with the Arizona Cardinals. Because you know who's there.
Yeah.
And you know who's not there. You can't tell me you love them all. Right? You just can't.
I hope that's not the answer.
Right. This isn't The Bachelor.
Right.
This can't happen. Yeah. Right? You're like, we don't love everyone here. All right? So I think that's what it's going to have to be for either the Vikings or the Broncos. Now, the Vikings might say, screw it. We'll take whoever. I don't want us to operate that way. And so I think it's one of those where it's the night of the draft after the third pick is made. Now that's when the action starts to happen for the Arizona Cardinals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And that was kind of my question. Like, I don't know how involved Arizona is, and then it just becomes a – like a mad scramble to the phone line on that first night or that second morning of the draft.
Yeah, I think you
or it would be the first night, excuse me.
Yeah, you might discuss it before. Like, hey, you know, you talk to the general manager, like, what would it take? You know, if our guy's there, what would it take? Okay? You know, because this is what we're thinking about offering. This is what you have to have we're out. Like, nope, that's too much. So this is our all-in right here. So you let them know beforehand because you don't have time. They don't have time to go, wait, hold on, Sean. And then, you know, who's the general? I forgot the general manager. Or just say Kevin O'Connell over there, the head coach. Like, okay, Kevin, can you do this? Okay, Sean. Like, you don't have time for all that. So you have to have some parameters in place where you know what you can get from Minnesota and what you can get from Denver. So then when it happens, you pick up the phone and say, all right, guys, you in or out? You in or out, right? Okay. But you already have the parameters in place. So if your guy's there, if you're the Broncos, then you say, all right, this is it. Do you want it or do you not, Arizona? And so I think that will all happen after the third pick is made.
It is less than a month. It was a month yesterday from round one of the NFL draft where the Broncos possibly find their answer at quarterback or left standing alone at the altar once again. I want to take a time out, and I want to ask a question about the weekend that will be where the Nuggets and the Avs. Nuggets versus Minnesota, Avs versus Nashville. Which game means more to the franchise and their playoff push moving forward? We'll answer that and catch up with your answers on the RamosLive.com text line next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, big games this weekend. Obviously, with the Nuggets chasing a one seed, the Avs fighting for their division. Still not out of that quest for the one seed in their conference either. So I asked you this, Stoke, and I want you to answer. I want Denver sports fans to answer out there. Bigger game, tonight versus Minnesota. We know what it means for both the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Or Avs tomorrow night over at Ball Arena. It's been a beautiful week of games at Ball Arena. As they will welcome the Predators, the Nashville Predators. Which game has bigger implications? Which matters more to the Nuggets and the Avs?
Yeah,
or to you?
That's a good one. I like how you frame that. It could be to each their own.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think there's one right answer. I think you could make a case for both. Both need to win, right? But which one needs to win more? And to me, that's the Nuggets. I think home court is so important for them, and you're looking at they're playing a team that's a half a game behind them, and you don't want to fall behind in the head-to-head matchup with that team and be at 1-2. Now you do face them one more time, but I look at it as, hey, you got to go out there, and especially at home, you're playing at home. You need to defend your court and keep OKC and keep Minnesota behind you in the rankings. I think the number one seed is very, very important for the Denver Nuggets to take that next step and get out of the West. I'm not as confident in you, and I'm very confident in them, but I'm not like you and Zach are just like overflowing, just like whatever. Like, yeah, well, I'll see you in. You know, I'll see you in the finals. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Like, settle down.
Yeah, wake me up in June, dude.
Right. So I say the Nuggets. I think they need to go out there and get it and keep that number one seed because, and here's the other thing. You can go from 1-3 like that.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? There
that's
it is.
Good.
That was better.
That was
the first
a good
one.
Snap.
Yeah, the first one didn't do very well. I was like, dang, that was weak sauce. So it's not like you go from 1-2. You go from 1-3. And that's a huge difference. So I don't want to be messing around with that. I feel great if we're the number one seed. For the number three seed, I feel good. You know, like because there's some real teams and some real dudes in the West that we'd have to get through. I want home court. That's why I say the Nuggets. What do you think?
I'm gonna go the other end of this because I'm just you're right. I'm very confident in who the Nuggets are. Maybe overconfident. I guess we're finna find out here once the postseason starts. But I just think this team with starters playing 36 to 38 minutes, which is what will happen in the postseason, it's gonna be so hard to beat them. I think Nikola has another gear to get to in this postseason run, and it's not adding something to his game. It's just elevating everything else he does and making everybody around him that much better. So I don't have a lot of worries about what the Nuggets are, if healthy. The Avalanche, man, they've been inconsistent. They haven't been obviously dealing with the Val situation and not having him around. That matters. And then trading the players that they traded, adding the players that they added, and them kind of coming around and figuring out who they are with their roles on this team. I do have more worry about the Avalanche because of Val, man. Is he going to be right? I know it's a lower body injury, and Bednar called it day-to-day, so that makes you feel a little bit better because it's day-to-day, not week-to-week or month-to-month or anything like that. But without Val, this team is just a 500 hockey team. Val is the straw that stirs the drink. And Nathan is what you like in the drink, obviously, and Kale's that big old fat ice cube that you love, and maybe Miko's a little mixer that has your favorite flavor in it, but none of it works unless Val's there. And I have a lot of question marks about Val still. So that's why I think the Avalanche need that home ice advantage. You get that little bit of extra juice from the home crowd, and then you obviously get an extra home game for the Avalanche. So I'll roll with the Avs.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. So I think, how about this? How about can we agree that it's really important for both?
It is. You're
how
right.
How about that? Huh? Can we just do that?
Look at us agreeing.
I know. I just think that coming down the stretch for both of these teams you know, it's important. Like, all these games are going to be important. And the Avs have been struggling here the last two a little bit, I guess, right? I mean, you shouldn't have lost to the Canadiens.
No, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't have lost to them, right? And then last night's one of those games where, look, it's a heavyweight, you know, matchup there. Mm-hmm. And you lost in overtime. So, okay, whatever. And then you look at the Nuggets, like, yeah, you just lost to the Suns. Right, you don't want to lose to Minnesota, be on a two-game losing streak here, and all of a sudden fall to third. And so I think it is. I think it's important for both. I give a slight edge to the Nuggets. You give a slight edge to the Avs. All good. Let's go out and win both of them.
I like that.
Feel good about where we're at on Monday.
I'm down to get greedy for that, for sure. This is a great text, and we were going to get to this before the show was said and done, but we're asking texters, what's the bigger game? Nuggets-Timberwolves tonight, Avs-Preds tomorrow night. Tell us at 303-713-1043. But the 585 texts in and says, it's the CU women tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
Sweet 16. They can end Caitlin Clark's little career, you know, the wrong way for her, the right way for us. I don't really have a beef against Caitlin Clark. She's a fun story. But I would love for CU to put that villain hat on tomorrow and ruin the rest of the world's women's bracket.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be really, really cool. It's obviously a lot of eyeballs will be on it. And, like, she's the star of the game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what she's been able to do during her career. And so if you're able to, you know, pull the huge upset, that would be a game changer. That would be really cool for the program and the university if they could pull it off. I don't like Drew and I were talking about it during the break, and it's like a 1 o'clock start.
Yeah, 1:30.
1:30 start.
You don't like that?
Well, no, I don't. Why? I don't like that. Because, like, you know what? I got friends.
You're one of those friends, people.
I'm not a loner. Yeah. I'm like, it's going to be a nice day on Saturday.
Oh, I see where this is.
I got stuff to do. Like, yeah. I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be just sitting at home.
Yeah.
Now, if we had the blizzard like we had last week, okay. Or 2 feet of snow, okay. But it's going to be a nice day. Easter's the next day. And it's in the middle of the afternoon. I'm not going to be sitting on the couch watching that game. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Now, if it was at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, I would be. So I think they dropped the ball. I think there would be more people sitting around watching a game in the evening than it would be in the middle of the day before Easter. And it's just like, for me, it's like, yeah, I'll follow it on my phone wherever I'm going to be, but I'm probably not going to be sitting around watching that game tomorrow afternoon, unfortunately. I would like to, but I'm not going to make my schedule around that basketball game. I'm just not. You feel me?
Yeah, and I get it 100%, especially when it's going to be nice like that. And it's, if you're the NCAA Women's Committee and you're doing this and making this, it's, well, they probably didn't want to go against the guys. Elite Eight games that start at, I think it's 4 and 6 Mountain Time. So if you are going to consume them all, this is where I think their brain is. Sit down and watch Caitlin. Roll right into watching the men. And they thought, well, I don't know that we can win that battle on the men's side. It would be closer than I think a lot of people would think because Caitlin Clark commands your eyeballs. But that's just where my head goes. They didn't want to compete against the men.
That makes sense. Didn't think about that. But, you know, for me, then I'm probably going to be out watching that game. So it's I think it would be a lot better situation if it was that 6 o'clock start. But if you don't want to go head to head with the men's, okay, I guess I can understand that. I don't know. I think you would have a lot of people that would decide to watch Caitlin Clark instead of the men's in that situation. But you know, like you said, when you're making this up, you're trying to look for the best possible slot
right.
for your game and your side of things, and maybe that's a big deal. And they were thinking about not going head to head with the men's, and that's what they did. So unfortunately for me, I probably won't. I'm not saying I won't.
Sure.
Like, you never know, but I probably won't be watching a lot of that game.
I think it is a pretty big deal, though, that it's an ABC 1:30. Caitlin gets all the love, but like for the CU women's team to play, you're playing basketball on ABC on Saturday at 1:30. That's an awesome deal for these young women, especially the players that aren't going to get the attention that Caitlin has got or will continue to get as a pro. One quick text. This is actually from the texter that said, don't forget the CU women. They have some advice for you.
Okay.
Just put a TV outside and watch with your friends.
Well, That's a possibility. Yeah. It's like I said, it's a possibility, but I think I'll be out and about probably.
Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah,
it's a big Saturday.
You never know. Like it's. Look, the Masters is the next week. We talked about the grounds crew, how much they spend in their maintenance, right? What are the azaleas are blooming, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, this weekend's a big weekend for Lowe's and Home Depot. That place is going to be rocking.
Oh, that's right.
It's rocking because it's nice weather. People are going to start planting.
Uh-huh.
They're going to start planting their stuff and getting their flowers ready and stuff like that. So I might be one of those guys.
That's right.
Getting my flowers and getting ready to go for the spring. So I don't know. I don't know what the plans are, but in the middle of the day, I just don't know if it's going to be Caitlin Clark and CU for me.
You need any help with that landscaping? I'm your guy.
That's you.
I'm your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard.
$350 an hour.
Yeah, $350. Perfect. Got the partner special.
Yeah,
thank you, Josh.
Course,
so nice.
You got to charge up for stuff you don't want to do, right? Like, I already did that job.
Not to your friends.
Okay, you're right. $300.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a timeout. Tell us still what game matters the most. Also, the Pioneers got some love on the RamosLaw.com text line. They're going to take on Cornell for a chance to go to a Frozen Four again. So that is obviously a big one as well. Let's talk some documentaries. Saving Sakic is going to be the latest kind of 30 for 30 ESPN doc. It's going to come out next month, And it's got a crazy story about how the Avalanche did exactly that. Saved Joe Sakic. Details next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Ty's bringing the heat today. He's got a little bit different flavor than chicken fingers.
He does.
I like it, Ty.
I can get down with this too, Ty.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. So,
chicken fingers is a he's doing his thing this weekend.
Yeah, he got a little doing his little thing. We'll get an update from chicken fingers.
Has he ruined your hat thing yet?
My hat case.
Your hat case.
that's what it's for. You know. It's, I don't think you can ruin it.
Well.
No, you're right. It's chicken fingers. It is chicken fingers. Probably going to have barbecue sauce all over it. And grease and stains. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what it looks like when we get it back. But I got to know, and Drew and I were just talking about this. What happened in Greenwood Village yesterday, people?
Oh, we
got
to know.
We got to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we got some of our finest out there, police officers from Greenwood Village that listen to us. I know they are.
Yeah.
So let us know what was going on in our work parking lot,
mm-hmm.
Because it was a police presence like we've never seen before. There were 7 or 8 that we saw, cop cars that we saw chasing a guy through our parking lot. The spike strip got thrown down. Don't think it worked. It wasn't a great throw. We got to work on that. That's okay. That's okay. And then the guy just kind of out of here. Yeah. And but we what went down? What happened there? We need to know.
I want to know about
303-713-1043. I don't know if I'll be asleep this weekend if I don't get closure.
I know. You texted me about it like 3 or 4 times last night.
I know.
And then I left here to go skate like 39-year-olds do.
Right.
And I get to my local skate park, and the parking lot's full of police.
Oh.
And they were searching cars, and I just throw my headphones on and skate, but they were there for 45 minutes. Then everyone just left. There was no...
That was it.
The people's cars they were searching, they got into their cars and left, and then the police officers left and did their thing as well. So, but hey, shout out to the police officers for doing their thing and protecting us. But it was a weird day yesterday with police presence in our lives.
Never seen anything like that here.
I never seen anybody throw a spike strip in real life.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it. We had the bird's eye view of it all breaking down right in front of us. Like, okay, that's where there's a cop car here just sitting there. There's one at the exit with the cop outside mm-hmm. of it hiding behind, like, electrical box. And then y'all saw something in his hand. Well, what does he have in his hand? Is that, like, a baton thing?
Yeah.
And he was kind of peeking around, like, dude, something is going down. And next thing you know, that car went the wrong way through a bank teller area. And the cop started following, turned on the lights, that thing took off and missed the spike strip thing. And then next thing you know, there were 7 cop cars that just, I don't know where they felt, came out of it. They're like all in our parking lot. That was it, man. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool. It was exciting. Got some action going on over here in Greenwood Village.
Yeah, it's a pretty big day here on a Thursday. Do you think if we do have cop listeners, would they let me try to throw the spike strip ever?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
like in
not.
like in a training environment, not like a real. I don't want to be in a real life. I'm a wuss.
Yeah,
like, I just want to try it.
Yeah, I guess you could. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, you probably could just buy one yourself, right?
Oh, really?
Why not? What do you mean, really? Do you think they're illegal?
I do.
Really? Why?
Yeah, Drew. Wouldn't they be
why would
a
they
citizen
be
can buy a spike strip?
Yeah, I would think they gotta be illegal.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Why?
I mean that.
Do you want
to be reckless, number one? But
that's a lot of things in life are reckless. Yeah. Like you can buy guns, you can buy knives, you can buy the little stick that they have that they whip a baton deal, whatever. I mean, you can buy tasers. I mean, come on. But you can't buy a spike strip?
Googled it. Like literally the first thing that comes up on Google says, if used by civilians on private property like driveways, they can be classified as a booby trap, which is illegal.
A booby trap?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it says they could be.
Could be.
Could be.
And that's on private property. Right, I would imagine public property is probably worse.
But here's the question, okay? Can you buy it online or not?
I just Amazon search spike strips.
Right?
And there's probably stuff about different birds.
Yeah, right, because you don't want birds. I bought a bunch of that stuff. Birds and owls, you don't want them to land on your and make nest and land on your patio area. Yeah. So you put the spike strips up there. But if you can buy it online, then it's legal.
It looks like you can.
Okay.
About $250 from Dana Supply Company.
Boom. Boom.
Stoked.
Boom.
I know where you're going.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What you're going with, if you can buy it online, it's legal.
It's not legal.
I understand that. But like if you go to Amazon and buy it, it's legal.
Okay.
Now if you go to your websites that you go to, I understand what you're talking about. There's a lot of illegal stuff online. But if you go to a reputable website and can buy it, and I'm sure there's different styles and different, you know, types of it.
Of course.
So there you go. You can get it.
Like, remember that store in the mall? It was always the Westminster Mall for me. Shout out to the Orange Julius by the balloons right there. It was a great time. But there was always that store in the mall that had, like, brass knuckles and swords.
Oh, yeah, tasers and all that cool stuff, yeah.
I'd imagine that might have spike strips in it.
Yeah.
I want to go to the mall now.
There you go. Get yourself a... I don't think they have spike strips there.
Dude, they had giant swords. What the hell do you need that for?
Is that... Can you still do that? Really? Like, you sell tasers over the counter? Like,
I believe so, yeah.
Can you go to Walmart and get a taser? There's no, like... Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
You get everything at Walmart.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I guess we're going to do some homework this weekend.
That's right. But we got to know what went down here in Greenwood Village yesterday in our work parking lot, because it was entertaining, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I guess this is how I got to earn people's respect. It says, hey, my respect for Josh just grew 1,000%. He admitted he was a wuss.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Right, perfect.
I guess I just be honest with you. And now someone's saying you can buy a flamethrower on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
This is just getting ridiculous.
Right. This is insane.
You should actually get a flamethrower. You always, not that you complain, but you don't like to go and shovel the snow or plow the snow. Buy a flamethrower, dude.
There you go. And it just melts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's safe.
Safe.
Yeah. Just don't worry about
that. What do you want, efficiency or safety?
Right. Yeah. Do you want to be out there for a long time or just risk your life?
Wait, what about for weeds? Can you buy a flamethrower for weeds? Like, I'm sure you could.
That might be dangerous.
Not should you is the question.
Right.
No, like, no. No. What?
Well, and
why would you want to do that? Like, you're going to burn everything around.
Or like a blowtorch or something. Maybe not a flamethrower, but like a little blowtorch.
Attach
to propane or something like that. That's an option.
In Seymour,
it's not an option, Drew. It's not an option. You just pull the weeds, man. I mean, like, you're trying to burn weeds?
If anything, the flamethrower would be for the ice.
Yeah.
It would be for clearing ice.
Yeah, but not for weeds.
But it would work. It would still be effective, to Drew's point. Like, you could use it. You could use a flamethrower to get rid of anything.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's practical. That don't mean you should do it. Like, using a flamethrower to remove weeds. What are we doing here, guys? Come on.
I imagine it'd be a great stump remover.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe a stump. But, like, usually you have plants around weeds. So, you got to be real careful not to light your plants on fire. I mean, we're not out in the country here.
Well, like, I was going to say, in Indiana, you do light your... everything on fire.
Yeah, that's what you do in Louisiana too. Like, you just get your leaves and you make a big bonfire. You light the leaves and your branches and stuff, you know, all that debris. You light that on fire. You do. But you don't do that here. And you certainly don't do it with a damn flamethrower. Unbelievable.
Dude, some people are actually texting us and saying they're things called ditch burners, and it's a flamethrower for weeds.
In a ditch.
So Drew's right.
Well, in a ditch. But not, like, I'm thinking more around your house.
Oh, like in your front yard, the little weeds that are in there.
Yeah, where you have bushes and stuff. But, like, if you're out in the country and you got a ditch, like, I mean, but I don't.
You have homeowner's insurance?
Huh?
Right?
I don't want my house to burn down.
You got insurance for that.
Where am I going to sleep? At your place?
There you go.
We'd have fun.
We would. Kelsey would hate us, but we would have a great time. Okay, we didn't get to the documentary because we started talking about flamethrowers.
Right. I taking an L on the flamethrower?
I think you are.
Yeah, I think you are.
I'm
kind of considering getting it because, I mean, in my house. Flamethrower, the weed burner. Let me clarify.
The what?
The weed burner. Like,
what is that? What do you mean, the weed burner?
Apparently, it's called like a weed dragon, according to the Ramoslaw.com text line.
Something called
the weed dragon.
Okay, and what does it look like? Do you have propane on the back?
Look at that.
Oh, so that's like a little bitty. Oh, wow. So that's a lot different than a flamethrower, though.
Yeah.
Much different than a flamethrower. Like, that has some control, and it has like a little bitty nozzle type of thing, so you can, like, just put it to one spot where it's like.
Yeah. Drew, you should get one.
I think I might.
Yeah, you should. I mean, because that
bring it into work.
Can I do it without telling my wife? Because you know she's going to say no.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell her. Still bought it for you.
I wouldn't. that's what Josh does.
That's what I do, yeah.
I would say the best thing, I think, Drew, you got little kids. Just don't be a lazy ass and go pick your weeds. You don't have that many weeds. You don't need it. Just go pull your weeds.
Every party has a pooper, and the pooper is you.
That's me. That's right. I'm the old guy. I'm trying to be the mature guy and make sure everyone stays safe. We aren't having fun. I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Team flamethrower over here, Drew. I'm with you on that one. I'll go halves on it with you, in fact. All right, let's get to the Joe Sakic documentary. It's coming out, and who else in Denver sports could be worthy of a documentary? That conversation coming up. I'm a wuss.